Hello, and welcome back to 10 out of 10 Mood Watch again with Lauren and Russ.
Hello.
This week we are doing 1994's The Pagemaster. We mention it one time on a Home Alone podcast, and the amount of people that were like messaging being like, oh my God, I forgot all about that film. So we were like, perfect, an excuse to rewatch it and talk about it en masse. So Ross, hit me with your pish.
No worries. So it was released in November 1994, directed by Joe Johnston, who had done the live action scenes, and a guy called Maurice Hunt, who had done the animated scenes.
What a guy.
Right, two legends of the game. Starring Macaulay Culkin, Christopher Lloyd, Whoopi Goldberg, Patrick Stewart, Leonard Nimoy, and Frank Welker. A budget of $34 million and a box office of only $14
million. That's an absolute disgrace.
Yeah.
See, when I was looking up useless information for this movie, they were like, oh, this is one of Macaulay Culkin's flops. And I'm like, where? Where is this a flop? Point me in the direction to where this movie's terrible.
Yeah, I'm surprised this movie was deemed like a failure.
100%.
This movie's fucking class.
100%. So, general overview of the film. A boy who's terrified of basically everything finds himself on a wild adventure in a library. So, why do you love this film? Why do you think this is a wee underrated classic?
See, it's one of these ones is I forget about it for years.
Totally.
And maybe that's part of the problem that it is kind of got lost in a mix with all the other movies, like other animated movies like this. But I think it's like, it's just such a cool movie. Like, I remember being a kid seeing this, I thought, this is fucking phenomenal. Like, I don't know why this gets like the hate it does. Like, it's crazy to me.
I totally agree. I'm the same as you. Like, I love this movie because it's class, but like, I feel like when we were kids, it was like rare that it was on.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was always on like Channel 4 or Channel 5 at like 1 o'clock on a Sunday, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
oh, aye.
But like every couple of weeks, so like when it did come on, you were like, yes! Just what you're saying, like, why was it seen as a failure? And so I'm going to rhyme you off some of the animated slash kids movies in 1994,
go for it.
Little film called The Lion King. Don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Nah, is that any good?
I've heard it's good. Thumbelina and The Swan Princess. They were both classics in my house, but I'll understand if they weren't in yours. You had The Land Before Time 2, The Flintstones movie, the one with John Goodman.
Oh, that's a fucking fantastic movie.
Right. The live-action Jungle Book, but like the actual live-action one, where there's like actual bears and tigers in it. Don't know if that was another.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I remember that.
That was in our like Channel 4 bad boy. You had The Return of Jafar, so I don't even know if that's like Aladdin 2 or 3. You had The Secret Garden movie, The Beano movie, and a good couple of Scooby-Doo movies. So like, really apart from The Lion King, everything, I mean, listen, I have my own personal love for The Swan Princess and Thumbelina, but like, apart from those, it's not exactly like it was mad.
No, do you hold back The Beano movie?
Yeah.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Neither did I until I've just looked it up there.
I mean, a lot of these movies, I mean, I think Disney at the time, obviously The Lion King and that, but they were starting to like pull out the sequels and stuff.
Yep. Well, hence Return of Jafar, yeah. You know.
But I would put this movie up against like any of them.
I agree.
Like, take out The Lion King, maybe.
Aye, fair
enough. The Lion King's The Lion King. It's fucking it's phenomenal. But
100%.
I know, I would put these up against them, and I'd argue its case, like, easily.
I totally agree, and I think it's that really, do you know that we see in the same kind of branch of like, yeah, Pagemaster, obviously like Thumbelina, that kind of, it was like that kind of, not out there, that sounds a bit, but it was that kind of quaint drawing style. It was always, these films were like a bit darker, if you know what I mean. Like, obviously it's a kid's movie, but there was still, they weren't feared to give you like a fright, do you know what I mean? Like,
oh no, far from it.
Jump scares for kids, do you know what I mean? With this movie as well, I feel like people either know exactly what you're talking about or they're like, what the fuck is that? Do you know what I mean? Like, anybody I've brought The Pagemaster up to, they've been like, oh my God, I've not seen that movie for years. I watched it like twice when I was a kid and it pure stuck in my head. Or people are like, I have no clue what you're talking about, do you know what I mean?
I mean, you wouldn't think it would be like a promotional type thing.
Yeah.
Like promoting this movie, because you've got, I mean, the cast in this is like stunning.
100%.
Like, they're all like big names.
100%.
I mean, Macaulay Culkin, obviously, fucking Home Alone in that, like the years before.
Yep.
But, so it's a weird one. Like, I can't quite figure it out.
Totally. And it's on the movie's only like an hour and 15, and it's just, do you know that way? Like, I think watching it back as an adult, it's that like nice wee toasty feeling, do you know what I mean? Of like, remember when you were a kid in the library kind of thing, do you know what I mean?
But then it appeals to like adults in it as well. Totally. That, like, having old classic stories like come to life.
Absolutely.
Like, fair enough, they're not in debt, but you get a general sense of like, it's like you have like the Jekyll and Hyde and like Adventure Island and all that stuff. Like, there's no reason why.
Adventure Island, Treasure Island, you dickhead. Sorry.
I shows you how much I know. I can't read.
I think though as well, it's like, it's all the like literary references as well. Like in the horror section, there's like the crow that flies down that's like Evermore and all kind of thing. And like, even like the small bits, do you know what I mean? Like, he opens the book of the Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah, and dog comes running out.
Yeah. Like, if you're a kid with no conception of Sherlock Holmes, you're still like, as soon as you hear Hound of Baskervilles, you're like, fuck, big scary dog. Do you know what I mean?
Aye.
Rebel dive into thoughts and opinions. So basically, like, as per what we've been doing, we'll take you through the plot of the film and hit on all the wee lovely wee points. So Macaulay Culkin plays Richard Tyler, who is the most paranoid child I have ever met in my life.
Oh my god, he's like anxiety squared.
100%. Like, as soon as you go into his room, there's like signs next to light switches being like caution voltage, and there's like boots hanging on the wall with like in case of smashed glass and all this kind of stuff.
Earthquake kits and all that. It's a bit over the top for him.
And like, he goes, it's a thunderstorm, and he goes through to his mum and dad, and his mum and dad are kind of having a tete-a-tete about, like, I think now in 2024, what we would call anxiety. In the 90s, it was shut the fuck up and get on with it.
You're being a crybaby, pretty much.
Aye, why is your weighing up your wimp?
One thing I want to add about this is they're arguing about him pretty fucking loudly.
Aren't they?
Like, that must be horrific to hear.
Absolutely. Like, at least wait till your wing goes to bed, do you know what I mean? But they're basically saying how he, like, scared off the Little League team because he was hitting them with the, like, statistics of how many balls can hit you in the head before you get concussion and stuff like that. Which also, I'm like, how does your kid know all these statistics? Like, what are you leaving about? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, the dad builds him a treehouse that he's too scared to go up because he says, like, all household accidents start with ladders and all this kind of stuff. And his dad, now, bear in mind, this Wayne is, like, anxiety, he's not, right? And the dad's like, go to the hardware store and get me a pound of nails. And, like, the bike that Macaulay Culkin comes out in, it's got, like, the reverse noises. It's, like, this big padded thing.
Oh, it's got all the safety mod cons on it, and it's quite a cool-looking bike, actually.
Totally. He gets pure slagged for it off the other way, and I'm like, that bike looks really cool.
It looks class. I would have a shot at that.
100%. Basically, while he's out, he gets stuck in, like, the mother of all thunderstorms, which I have some A's about, because I'm just kind of like, surely there's a weather warning for a storm this bad, you know?
Oh, they would have known. So I have a theory they just wanted rid of the wind.
Aye, 100%. They were like, right, I hope he gets lost. So basically, like, he crashes into a tree with his bike and runs to the library to get safety from the storm and to phone his folks and be like, I'm over here. This is quite possibly one of the most beautiful libraries in movies. It's huge. Everything's marble. It's got those, like, really old, tall, cool stacks with all the books. This beautiful rotunda with, like, the mural on the ceiling and stuff. And it's, like, this library and the library from Matilda. Like, that's, like, the dream libraries you want to go to as a kid, do you know what I mean?
Oh,
I don't know if I'm just giving away my pure, like, geek childhood, do you know what I mean? Like, loved it. Like, my dad used to take me to the Mitchell Library, well, Anderson Library before it shut, and then Mitchell Library. Yeah. And, like, loved it. Just loved stoning about, like, picking up different books, like, reading a wee bit. And then my dad was like, right, on you go. Although there was one time, this is the first tangent of the podcast, right? There was one time.
Oh, no, it's not. But carry on. You crack on, hey.
There was one time where I can't remember what age I was, but I was reading those A Series of Unfortunate Events books.
Yeah.
And in the first one, Klaus reads up on, like, inheritance law and all this kind of thing. And I was like, to my dad, like, oh, when we go to library this week, I want to read law books. And my dad was like, what the fuck, why? And now he was like, you're never going to be able to read them. Like, they're too long. They're too, like, there's too many words. You're never going to read them. And I was like, basically shitebagged if you don't major, you know what I mean? So I was like, no, I'll read them. And honestly, to be fair, right, my dad was like, nay bother, right? So we like went along. My dad got me like 6 different law books that I swear to God were about a foot thick.
Yeah.
And like, and he, for about half an hour, he just let me like read it. And I didn't even get past like the second page. And my dad was like, honestly, I must have, I think those books came out when we were what, like 10, 11 or something. And like, yeah. I didn't even get past the second page. It took me half an hour. And my dad was like, do you have a clue what any of this says? No, fucking mon. Like, let's go to the section you like. Do you know what I mean?
So I back to the movie then. Tangent number one.
Yeah. Big mental Christopher Lloyd is the librarian, like creepiest librarian ever.
It's something very off-putting about him.
Uh-huh.
Like, this thunderstorm happens just rapid, right?
Yeah.
Like, which we can agree on.
Yeah, like yeah. Within 5 seconds it goes from sunny to like...
Is it, I can understand why that library's empty.
100%.
Because he seems the type it would just be all over you.
100%.
Like, just being a general pain in the arse.
Yeah, totally. Like, you're just trying to read your book, and he's like, oh, you don't want that one, you want this one.
I know what people want.
Like, we'd go off your nut if you pulled out, like, a bottle of water or something like that.
And I want to know as well, say for that size, only him. Jesus Christ, that's some job he does.
100%.
The indexing that all the time. Fair enough to you.
I running about all that.
So this happens, and he says to Christopher Lloyd, right, I need to phone my parents. And he says, public telephone is right at the back of the library.
Now, this I have a problem with, right? And I probably should have saved this for A, right? But fuck it, we're doing it now. The fact that this wee boy is clearly stressed that he's not, right?
Aye.
In the middle of a storm, he's soaking, like the water is dripping off him, which will come into play in about 5 minutes' time. You wouldn't just let him use the phone behind your desk. You would make him walk all the way to the back of the library.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Especially alone. Like, it's a bit, that library you'd easily get lost in.
Absolutely. Well, that's the next bit. So Macaulay's on his way to get the phone, gets lost, gets into the middle of the rotunda and looks up at the mural, and basically all the water's dripping off his jacket, so he slips and bangs his head and sees the mural start to melt onto the floor, which basically turns him into a cartoon.
Yeah.
And this is where we get into the cartoon section of the film.
I think really smart, because if they were to do it live action all the way through, I don't think it would have been as good, and maybe I've been too scary.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that it kind of melts in, you know, like it goes from him, like he's running away from the like melting mural, and then he gets like not eaten by the dragon, but like kind of
takes over him.
Yeah, basically.
Like, goes over him, like whatever the way it is.
Drink the paint, right? And basically becomes a cartoon. And then from there, it's like, so obviously when it gets to the cartoon, the library is like super vast. It's like stacks are tall and long and you literally can see nothing. And then he meets his first wee pal at the book, the adventure book, which dressed a pirate. So class.
Like, just to like go back a little bit, is see the shot where he first runs into the rotunda, I think it is. And you see the murals, is how cool did they look?
100%.
Like, that shot alone is just phenomenal.
Totally.
Like, imagine your library had that. Like,
totally.
I was thinking, so the effort that would have took, I don't think libraries get the money.
No, totally. We were talking about this. It is a real shame that like a lot of libraries are getting closed down, because obviously the library that's around the corner from you, obviously that would have been your childhood library.
Yeah.
It's done now, and it's like, obviously I understand there's cuts and blah, 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 but like, if you want people to go to the library, like, make it cool. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, make the kids want to go there. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a real shame. Like, I know the Mitchell is, like, oh, that's obviously, like, the one of the bigger ones. But, like, you can only really use the first 2 floors. Yeah. And then the rest is all, like, for research purposes and that.
Yeah, I think a lot of it now is, like, we don't have a need. No, we don't have a need for them. That's stupid. But it's, like, that with internet and all that, is there a... Like, we're a younger generation, that is, they don't need to go and check out books. And it's sad. Like, it really is sad, because I used to love going to a library.
Me too.
Like, you would meet up with people and that there. But nowadays, it's...
Yeah, you'd go in, you'd, like, see people in from school and all that. Yeah. Like, I remember, like, when the school used to take you to the library, it was, like, a trip, like, a day out, do you know what I mean?
Aye.
I think as well now, like, now I've noticed on, like, social media and stuff now, there's a big right now there, I mean, this is another tangent, but there's like a big trend of like anti-consumerism, if that makes sense. So like going to charity shops instead of going to Primark, and going, they're trying to now tell you don't go to Waterstones, go to the library kind of thing. So it's we're going back to that now of like secondhand is good and all this kind of stuff. And it's mad because like on TikTok I keep seeing all these videos of like come spend a day with me as a thrifting 20 something, and they're just going to the library, they're making a coffee at home, they're going to the library, and they're going to a Chazza. Like, it's not, but if it takes a TikTok trend to make people go back to the libraries, why are you in? Do you know what I mean?
I just find it weird that that's such a big deal now.
Totally.
Like, I mean, it used to be a thing all the time, is it? Just go to the library and get a book.
Totally.
Like, you didn't need to have, like, one of those things, if it's close to you, you didn't need a parent.
No.
Like, as long as you're well behaved in that, and crazy to me that you've mentioned that this is an idea people have had to do, and is it?
Totally.
Libraries have been about for so long, man.
Well, this was one of the things, like, do you know how when you were at that age where you were allowed to, like, go out by yourself, like, with your pal? Like, it was so, this is going to sound so daft, and Ainsley, I apologise, I'm absolutely about to out us. When we were kids, we would, like, quote-unquote, dress up as grown up, right? As in like the flared jeans, but we'd wear like a fancy top, right? And like go to the shop, get a bottle of juice, and then we would walk round to the library and get our library books, and then like we'd sit and read some of the Goosebumps books, and then we'd go like walk the long way and kid on as if we were like conning out for a longer time when really we just did a circle, you know?
Yeah.
But that was like our look at us, we get to go out by ourselves. And it was, I think that's one of the things, like, obviously, if, like, when you start, I don't know if other parents do this, or if it was just ours, do you know what I mean? Like, if you're letting your kid go out for the first time, like, if that's the closest thing, you'll be like, right, go to the library and get this, but I want you back for this time. And it's letting your kids have that independence while also being like, whoa, do you know what I mean? Bring back libraries, 100%.
There's not enough of them anymore. It's sad. Right, so back to the movie. Tangent number two at the way.
Maybe we should stop watching movies and go to the library and read some books. So, 10 out of 10 would read again.
Oh, that'd be an offshoot. So he meets three books here. Adventure, who's the pirate, bold, courageous, like all the stuff you'd expect out of an adventure novel. Yep. He meets Fantasy.
It's like a fairy, like, but she's like a straight talking sassy fairy with a broke wand.
She would have to be, wouldn't she?
Nah.
And then you've got Horror, who's kind of
our cat in book form.
He's
just like big, dumb, but like a horror book that's scared of everything as well.
Yeah.
Like, cracks me up.
Kind of gruesome. Like, not gruesome in a way, like,
looks kind of like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah, kind of that way, aye. But these obviously push the story along, and like, so these characters, like, they kind of guide like Richard Donny's journey, and like offering their own talents, like perspectives on how to do stuff.
No,
like,
you're totally right.
Through each one. So this is basically him, don't being a shitebag. That's it, pretty much.
Aye, from shitebag to no shitebag. One eloquent way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, it's that. That's it. I mean, I can't really.
No,
that would have been the perfect general overview. Just doing it through the classic books, which I think's phenomenal.
Totally. So, like, the first stop in the film is the horror section where Richard, Fantasy, and Adventure, and then they meet Horror.
Yeah, Horror's already
they
there.
Go through the graveyard and into Jekyll and Hyde's house. So this is, like, suitably creepy for a kid's cartoon. Like, everything's, like, grey. And as soon as they go into, like, Jekyll and Hyde's house, it's that kind of green tinge, and you've got the Evermore Crow coming down, you've got like what looks like it could be like the Portrait of Dorian Gray, that kind of vibe. And then when Jekyll turns into Hyde, everything goes that kind of neon green kind of thing. And like, I feel like as a kid, tell me if I'm wrong, you knew everything was going wrong in a film when everything turned green. Do you know what I mean? Like, think about it, like Disney movies, right? So like when Scar's singing to the hyenas, be prepared, everything's neon green. When Maleficent turns into the dragon, everything turns neon green. The pollution song in Fern Gully, everything's neon green. So it's like, even as a kid and you don't understand why you're feeling a type of way, I feel like it's pure ingrained in you through cartoons that, like, the second anything goes neon green, you're fucked. Do you know what I mean?
You're conditioned on it from a young age through totally. All the old Disney stuff. It's a bit like, see when they do stuff, it's like, in a Disney movie or such as a bookcase, you can't read any books, but there's one that's highly detailed and that's going to be used.
Yeah. And it's always like a wee bit off colour. Like, it's like if all the other books are like dark purple, this one book is like highly detailed and like lilac. Yeah. 100%.
So you've just been conditioned into thinking that for since you're a child.
And
since
you've not even clocked. Yeah, you've not even clocked. No, far from it, aye. Next up is Adventure, where they basically travel across the sea. They meet Moby Dick and Ishmael? Captain Ahab, sorry.
Captain Ahab, yeah.
And then they get kidnapped by Long John Silver and go on the Treasure Island hunt. So we were watching it last night and we were like, where do we know Long John Silver's voice from? So I deep dived, right? The guy's name is Jim Cummings and he's been in 601 animated movies. Ross, the guy voices Winnie the Pooh and Tigger in the Winnie the Pooh cartoons. For more recent ones, he was Ray the Firefly in Princess and the Frog.
Okay.
He's in Shrek. He's in Hercules. He's one of the, you know, the guy that slags Danny DeVito.
Aye, but and you can also hear about in the previous podcast episodes.
Yes.
What a plug in.
Good pun. He was in Lion King. Basically, in Lion King, Jeremy Irons could only do like half of the script or something like that, or quarters of the script.
Yeah.
Jim Cummings came in, picked it all up, and you cannot difference.
I felt it was good on
him. Was also in Aladdin. He does a lot of Scooby-Doo cartoons. There's like bits where he voices Fred as well. Was in Anastasia, was in Little Mermaid, was in Tarzan, El Dorado, your favourite.
Oh, what a fucking movie.
And like Goofy movie and stuff. Like this guy, basically like Hunchback of Notre Dame and stuff. Like, basically, if you've ever seen any cartoon ever, Jim Cummings has voiced it.
He's just a man for it.
Totally. I always think that's mad as well when you go back and watch like old 90s cartoons and it's like, you know the voices from other cartoons. I can't remember the guy's name off the top of my head, but the guy who voices Radcliffe in Pocahontas is in every other like Disney movie, do you know what I mean? So as soon as you hear his voice, you're like, oh, Radcliffe, do you know what I mean?
That's what they kind of do until they get though. They're big name actors, like your A-list and that, then they just flesh it out with these guys who just know what they're doing.
Totally.
Like, just absolute legends of the voice game. Like, that's it.
That's the thing. And like, you would walk past them in the street, but they've done voice acting for basically all of your childhood classics. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I feel like that's the kind of not fame, but the kind of work you would want if you were going to be like a voice actor. Do you know what I mean? Steady work, but you still have like a normal life to live. Do you know what I mean?
Well, if you get in with Disney, I mean, if you could be in 90% of their movies just playing guy number 3.
Yeah, totally. Like,
oh, you're doing it. Was there not a documentary?
I was literally about to say this one wee brain cells rattling. Yeah, is it called, it's not called That Guy, but it's something, or Who's That Guy or something.
I thought it was I Know That Voice. That's in my head.
Oh, I know the one you're talking about. No, I know the one you're talking about because remember we watched both.
Yeah.
So there's one called That Guy, which is about like basically guy number 2.
Yeah, that was like TV actors and that, like done all the like the pilots and that for stuff. That was very good.
I Know That Voice we watched straight after. That's the one about like your kind of animated ones, and it's like the guy from SpongeBob is also in like 12 other movies that you've seen and stuff. Yeah.
God, we need to watch that. That was so good.
That was, and I find stuff like that so interesting because, like, these guys are just cutting about, and then you go in their offices and they've got like all their awards and all this kind of stuff for like the work that they've done. Yeah, and
such a small little, like, such a niche, like, area of these, but all these people that you've grew up with them, and it's funny when you watch stuff now, and it's a. But that guy. Just you don't notice it as a kid.
Totally. You and me are like that, but like anything we watch, we're like, I know his face, and then it turns out he was like in an episode of Frasier or ER or something like
and
that.
I just remembered it, and my memories not that great, so I don't know how I can store this rubbish.
Listen, that's the thing. See, if you ask me to remember anything of importance, it's not happening.
Yeah.
But ask me to sing you a song that was in Father Ted and Nae Danger.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
I have nailed it.
Final stop is with Fantasy. We get the obligatory Poundland Celine Dion song about using your imagination.
Oh, God.
Which is quite possibly the worst song in any kids' movie ever.
Yeah, like, obviously, all animated Disney, Pixar, you name it, they need to have a song.
Yeah, of course.
The big hit. But this, as you said, I remember when we put this on yesterday, oh, my God, this song is shit.
And it feels like it goes on forever.
Yeah.
I think, though, this is how you can tell, like, the jump between these kind of animated movies and Disney animated movies, right? Because, obviously, Disney's got the big bucks, so they have, like, the best of composers and singers and all this kind of thing. Whereas Pagemaster is that kind of one or two steps down, like, and I'm talking, like, Pagemaster, BFG, that Ferngully, that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Where, obviously, Ferngully's different, that's got loads of songs, but there's always that one like prissy wee voice of like, and we'll fly over here and all this, do you know what I mean? It's always like the shittest song ever, but you need to end it. I mean, it's same with BFG, like nobody remembers the song where it's her dreaming, but everyone will tell you Wiz Pop Wiz Band, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, keep the kids interested.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's like the Poundland version of like any Celine Dion song.
Aye.
Like she even tries to sound like it.
Aye. So as you said, we jump out of the fantasy, which is basically Richard fighting a dragon.
Yeah.
Probably your biggest fantasy character. Okay, the dragons are in everything.
Totally.
God. So by this stage, he's kind of got his bravery because he's been through all this stuff. So each section's kind of him being like, all right, what do I deal with here? Like, what do I deal with this part? And this all culminates in him going back to
meet the Pagemaster.
Yeah, which is, the Pagemaster is creepy, right? I'm sorry, I can't get behind this whole Pagemaster carry on.
Okay.
I've seen it, I'm taught about it, I've got it, I love this movie. I can see the problems in it now.
No!
And I still love this movie. I'll defend this movie to the death, but seeing it, I'm like, no, I'm thinking about this, like actually sitting down and thinking about it, not just turning it off, like turning my brain off. Is it actually, there is a few issues here, but you know what? Still a fucking class movie.
You are so good. Like, see, just to go back to the dragon bit, right? This is something that I love, but also threw off my, like, idea of, like, anatomy for years, right? Is, so Richard gets swallowed by the dragon, right? Now, it's just a straight fall down the throat of the dragon into the stomach where there's, like, fire pits and bones lying about and then suddenly a beanstalk grows out of his stomach and all this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this is something that I always love in cartoons of, like, even seeing, like, Pinocchio where they get swallowed by the whale and there's, like, there's no organs, there's nothing going on. You just get swallowed into the black pit.
Yeah.
And then, like, they have the boat in the stomach of the whale and all this kind of thing. I'm not joking. My whole childhood, no idea of anatomy. I was just like, yep, you eat food and it just goes into this big hole at the bottom. Totally, like, genuinely, like, had no thought. And then it's like when you go into primary school and they start trying to teach you about organs and I was like, well, where's everything else going? Do you know what I mean? And that is another reason of why I was influenced by movies. So obviously after Richard meets the Pagemaster's like, but look at you now, you're all full of the courage, on you go. And he gets his bike back, he takes the books out and gets his bike and goes over the ramp that the kids were slagging him for, and then goes into his treehouse and he's like reading these wee books in his treehouse and you're like, good for you, Richard, do you know what I mean? This movie just leaves you with like the biggest grin on your face, do you know what I mean? Like, there's not really much else to say. It's just, it's only over an hour long and it just gives you that lovely wee, aw, isn't that nice, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it doesn't try and do anything different. It's using classic stories within its own story.
Yep.
Like, it's perfect.
Yeah.
It really is a perfect movie for me.
No, totally. You just said you can see all the plot holes 5 minutes ago.
No, I can see issues in it, but it's not going to change my opinion of this film.
Yeah, fair. So normally you hit me with a question, and I don't know if you're about to, but I've decided to get right in there, right?
All right, okay.
Stick it to you, right? So if they made Pagemaster 2 now, used Macaulay Culkin now, say this is like Richard is an adult and he doesn't know how to, like, he doesn't know how to, like, communicate with his kids or something.
Yeah.
So he ends up back at the library and whatever. What kind of genres of books would you want to see? And keep it PG.
Ah, of course. Jesus Christ. I mean, probably the biggest one they've not, well, the two biggest they've not gotten through yet is, what, romance and sci-fi?
Yeah.
So a sci-fi could be like a, I don't know, like a space thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm getting chased with robots and he has to run away or it's...
find a way to communicate with the robots, which is also a way in which he can communicate with his kid.
Aye.
And the romance one, maybe it's like a Love Actually thing, like another episode we've done on this podcast.
Listen to our podcast.
Tell your friends. No, the way, like, Liam Neeson's story is in Love Actually, it can be that. Like, maybe his kid doesn't want to talk to him because his kid's in love. So he goes through the romance thing and it's, like, how to teach your way and how to talk to people and all this kind of thing. Could you imagine him in, like, a self-help book?
I'm trying to think of the books they would... Like, the books they would use. Because these ones is kind of like your...
Your classics.
These are classic stories of
So,
these.
Like, your modern classics kind of thing.
Does it even need to be modern? Like, it could be... I mean, June would pull June for sci-fi.
We've also done an episode on June.
So we're promoting our podcast on our own podcast for people who listen to the podcast.
Who have already listened to the episode.
I listen to the episode of the podcast.
Inception! Aye, we could do... You could do June for sci-fi or like...
This is where I show my ignorance because I have no idea.
Absolutely not. What's that one, the guy that wrote Blade Runner, but it's something about like robot sheep or something. I just remember I had an English teacher that loved Blade Runner and he used to try and get us to read the books and I was like, what? I'm just not a big sci-fi book guy, do you know what I mean? Maybe, I don't know.
I'm not a sci-fi guy in general, so
yeah.
I'm probably should, like, people would probably surprise people, but I'm not.
Yeah, I know, you're a nightmare. Romance, you could stick in a bit of Pride and Prejudice. Get a bit of Twilight on the go. Get a bit of Hunger Games. Does Hunger Games count as sci-fi? Because it's in like not post-apocalyptic, but like...
Yeah, it would be. It's sci-fi, science fiction, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know the way there's things that I just don't think are science fiction, but they are? Do you know what I mean? I chuck in a couple of self-help books, do you know what I mean? Of like, how to talk to your brains, and it's just him in like a therapy bit like that.
That or like a biography.
Yeah, getting like celebrities and stuff to tell about it. That'd be so funny.
Like, some celebrity gonna like speak to their child or get through to them and this is what I'd done, yada yada.
Yeah, that would be cool. Like a kind of like an episode in the actor's studio, but it's just Macaulay Culkin talking to whoever's biography. That'd be really cool. I'm in.
Has he got a biography?
Macaulay? I don't think so.
Because he could be talking to himself if he does.
Listen.
That's pish.
That's like super Inception.
Yeah, yeah. That's getting too much. My head's starting to hurt now.
I think Macaulay's just chilling now. He's got his Wayne. I think he's got a couple of Waynes now. He's married to, is it Brenda Song or something? She was in like Sweet Life for Zack and Cody. Macaulay's a happy guy.
He worked hard as a kid, so he deserves it all.
Absolutely, man. I've been able to retire at 30. Let's just not discuss what he did in his 20s, do you know what I mean?
fuck it. Like, a lot of child actors that happened to him.
100%.
Came out the other end and he's doing well, I hope.
100%, 100%.
Hey, come on the podcast.
I'm Macaulay, hurry up, get down.
we've done a couple of his movies now, hurry up.
Listen, what are you doing? LA's on fire then, Macaulay. You're no busy, mon.
Get yourself to Glasgow. You can sit in this wee room and do this ways.
This is where next week we're like, guys, you'll never guess.
Fucking hell.
Do you have a favourite scene in the movie?
I'm kind of torn here because I do like the Jekyll and Hyde part, like the transformation scene from when Adventure, like, he offers him a drink and a horror tries to drink it, then he spills it and it turns out it burns everything. That, but I've also... I think the scene with Captain Ahab and the whale at the beginning.
That's really cool.
But I think that's more creepier, like more scarier than the Jekyll and Hyde part.
Yeah, just the white whale coming up to the bottom of the sea.
A darkish red, and you see the whale's eyes. And that's like pure white, obviously, in the book. And then it's just these red eyes. I find that more creepier. I'm kind of torn between them.
Yeah. Horror was always my favourite when I was a kid. Like, And I say favourite in that way of, do you know when something freaks you out when you were a kid, but you were like, yes, like, yeah, that.
Yeah, no, I get you.
But I totally get what you mean. See, I always find, like, the whale in Pinocchio super creepy, do you know what I mean? And do you remember, this is not whale related, but do you remember that cartoon, the is it An American Tale? We Fido the Mouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, when they're on the boat and it's, like, the waves are, like, a monster. Yeah. Terrifying.
That's a fantastic movie, I know.
100%. We just need to go back through all the 90s cartoons,
see,
man.
See that, then, like, The Borrows and all that.
Yes. I've not seen The Borrows since I was a kid.
Amazing.
We're watching The Borrows because I've not seen that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
But as long as we don't watch Black Cauldron, because that's still terrifying.
Nah, we'll give that a miss.
Ugh.
Only for Gergie.
What? My jigs and crunchies.
My jigs and
Right, we'll dive into useless information.
I go for it.
So this film took almost 3.5 years to complete, with mixing the computer graphics with when everything's melting before he turns into a cartoon, and being able to kind of meld all the cartoon and real life stuff together, which I thought was nuts. But then I suppose 1994.
I mean, it hasn't aged great now, but imagine at the time that, like, this would have been like, holy shit.
Yep.
Like, you can't tell this movie is, was that 30 years old?
Yeah.
Jesus, 30 years old. Oh my God. My back's starting to hurt.
100%. I can feel it. I can feel my knees slipping out here.
Aye. Oh my God.
Ross, don't have an existential crisis.
No, I think I am. I'm going to give everything up now.
No, it's fine. We're still young, Ross. We're still young.
Aye, so
I'll move on.
So you can tell that it's aged, but like at the time, I imagine it would look great. It still looks like cool.
I still wouldn't take anything away from this movie. Like, although you can tell it's aged, I'm still enjoying myself every time I watch it. Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Oh, a cat has entered. So just warning, guys, if you hear any banging, a cat has entered the room.
Yeah.
So the main settings for the movie are based on 3 books: The Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde by Robert Louis Stevenson, Moby Dick by Herman Melville, and Treasure Island, also by Robert Louis Stevenson, a good Edinburgh man. There are also references to Alice in Wonderland, Hound of the Baskervilles, Hunchback of Notre Dame, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Jack and the Beanstalk, and 1001 Nights. Which, do you remember that episode of Looney Tunes where Bugs Bunny did 1001 Nights? And it's like him on the magic carpet. Oh, no, never mind.
Oh, I'm with you
now. So good. So, so good. Christopher Lloyd's character, Mr. Dewey, is named after the Dewey Decimal System.
Yeah.
The system in which libraries use to sort books. This was Whoopi Goldberg, Patrick Stewart, and Leonard Nimoy's first role in voice acting for animated movies, which is nuts now. All of them would go on to have a long voice acting career in Disney, DreamWorks, and Paramount cartoons. Like, think of everything Patrick Stewart has voiced now.
Especially with that voice.
Do you know what I mean? Whoopi Goldberg as well, like, when I read that last night, I was like, no way, this was their first one, do you know what I mean?
And that's wild.
Into
it. You get them all, like, as their first as well, like, what a shout, man.
Nuts, totally, totally. And I didn't have any of, like, who was almost in it, but I do have, like, just a bit of daft trivia for my Trekkies out there, for my Star Trek guys. Almost every cast member in this movie has been in some form of iteration of Star Trek.
Nice.
So obviously you've got Patrick Stewart was Captain Picard. Leonard Nimoy is obviously Spock. Whoopi Goldberg was Gunane. Not a clue.
I've never watched it. Can't say I've watched it.
No. Robert Picardo is the Doctor. Christopher Lloyd also plays a commander in Star Trek 3. And Ed Begley Jr., who's the dad in this.
Yeah, Richard's dad, yeah.
Starred in Star Trek Voyager along with.
Fantastic.
I thought that was so mad. Like, again, I only know who, like, Spock and Captain Picard are purely because they're the most famous ones.
Yeah, yeah.
But if anyone's a Star Trek fan, happy days. Do you know what I mean? So, will we dive in?
This will probably be a short bit because I don't have, like, I have one here. What about you?
I've only got a couple, but see, to be honest, we covered them in Thoughts and Opinions. Like, where is Richard learning all these accident statistics? And why is there no weather warnings for this storm? Because it goes from, like, super sunny, all the kids out playing, to, like, thunder, lightning, flash floods and all this kind of thing. The only one I didn't mention, and this is a pure daft one, right, is in the library when they become cartoons and they're going along, Macbeth is next to Cinderella. And I'm like, what kind of kids section is that? Like, that would scare the shit out of anyone.
Yeah, that's just lazy ordering.
Isn't it? Aye, what kind of decimal system are you following? But that was, I barely had any A's. Like, this movie's perfect in my eyes.
My only one's about the librarian. And I was like, he's too into his job. Now, that might say a lot more about me and working. But
aye, the work ethic.
Yeah, but he seems like, I've never met anybody that keen to be a librarian.
Yeah. Oh, well, there was that guy on that episode, the Queer Eye Mind, and he was just all about being a librarian as, like, a member of the community, do you know what I mean? But no, I'll give you that. Like, I suppose that library's that big. Like, he's probably no actual left it since, like, 1974, do you know what I mean?
Like, he just loves it.
Yeah, 100%. He's like, I was supposed... He asked that lassie out on a date one night, then got lost in the library, and that's been him since, do you know what I mean? Yeah, no, I don't really... I don't have any other A's.
No, this movie's very, as I've said, it's very simple. Like, there's not a lot of, like, meat and bones in this.
No.
Like, it's just here, done.
Yep.
Which I'm here for. Like, you don't need all this. Like, yes, it has its themes of, like, personal growth and overcoming, like, fucking adversity and all that, but that's kind of your simplest story you can tell of this.
Yeah. It's an hour 15. Like,
yeah, if they didn't have time to fuck about with stuff like that, no, which totally, I'm here for.
Totally, totally. Do you have a worst guy whose hairline's receding?
Mine's just adventure. Just for the really? Way, just for the way he treats horror.
Yeah, he's so mean.
Yeah, for no reason.
He's so mean to my guy horror. I had the dad, because I was like Richard's dad, because I'm like, why are you being such a dick to your kid? Like, there's probably a reason you're Wayne's fear and everything. Like, go and be helpful rather than be like, who the fuck me? I say that as a childless woman, do you know what I mean? Like, that would probably go on your tits very quickly. Do
that's
you know what
I was
mean?
Going to say. I think the dad's just gunnered with us.
Yeah.
But it's one of those ones, what can you really do?
I like, he's probably been listening to his way and, like, being pure para about accidents. Like, because the mum's, like, super understanding, but she's like, what's he like? Whereas the dad's like, I've had enough, do you know what I mean?
You're damn man, nothing.
Aye, 100%. I mean, maybe if we ever have a kid, we'll be like that. Like, we'll be on this podcast, like, 10-year time, like, guys, we were wrong. Wayne's in a nightmare.
I fucking hate the Pagemaster.
Every episode of 10 out of 10 is animated movies, because that's all we have to watch.
Yeah.
I don't have a who's in a different movie, because, again, like you say, there's not really a lot.
Nah, there's nothing to really change.
People are in this movie who need to be in this movie. Yeah. There's not any, like, add-on characters for no reason.
Oh, no, the cast
mean?
Is, like, the characters in this is so... I tell a lie, actually.
Oh?
The ones I don't get is... See the... Is it Gulliver's Travels? The Lilliputs,
oh,
is it?
Oh, yeah.
Hands down horror.
Aye.
No need for that.
Aye. Oh, that's just to show that you're going into fantasy, but isn't it?
Yeah, I get that, but it's also... You have a big fucking dragon.
Yeah.
People know you're going out of fantasy here.
Aye, you're about to come across all these fairies that sing at you about how to use your imagination. Yeah. Like, well, no,
I always found that wee bit to be like, I get they'll just try to fling in a movie, like a movie, sorry, a book, but I'm like, I'm not.
You uncultured swine.
I'm not buying it yet. I'm not buying it at all.
No, fair enough. I don't have an I'm out either.
How can you?
No, I know. It's one and done, isn't it?
I mean, unless you hate the first 10 minutes of this, then there's no point.
Yeah. Well, guys, this has been our Pagemaster episode. If you've never seen the film, go and watch it. It's class. And if you have seen the film, you're welcome for a wee walk down memory lane. We're going to come off this and actually go to our local library now, see what they've got to offer us. And we'll see you again next week. Bye!
Bye!